This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by EMP, 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's emp180weightloss.com. We'll get into the Nationals coming up at 8:20 with Chelsea Janes from the Washington Post. Juan Soto hits two home runs, the 19-year-old phenom, at Yankee Stadium last night in a 5-4 win. Of course, they've had guys come back from injuries recently, like Adam Eaton, who had three hits last night.
Eaton had three, yeah.
Daniel Murphy has come back, played his second game yesterday.
Did you guys watch
Is
the game?
Is he still hitless?
Who?
Murphy.
I don't think Murphy has a hit yet.
I was not home. Okay. I didn't get home until.
I was wondering why they pinch ran for Eaton late in that game. They put Taylor in as a pinch runner.
Run because, faster right now. I mean, yeah, he's coming off the injury. I would assume that's why.
It's probably just to kind of protect him a little bit.
I don't think he necessarily was hurt. I didn't hear that.
So if you want to chime in on the Nats, you can, 800-636-1067. One thing that we wanted to play, we didn't get to it yesterday, but it's pretty funny audio. A couple of us have been involved in daily fantasy for a while.
Yes.
For quite by the way, for the record,
FanDuel.
I was the originator. I actually was, I owned like less than 1% of a daily fantasy site.
Okay.
Yeah, just wanted to.
Which one was that?
It's called Draft Day.
You can pat yourself on the back. I don't care.
Yeah, I am.
But well, I'm just pointing out FanDuel, DraftKings, Draft.com.
We were doing endorsements for FanDuel.
Yeah.
Right.
And Cakes was doing DraftKings.
DraftKings right. guy right here.
Then I started doing Draft.
Right.
Full disclosure, I have accounts with all three.
Oh, of course.
By the way,
and I used to have Yahoo.
So we've been doing it for five or six years.
But it's been around a long time.
I'm going to say it's been around 10 years because that's about when I was involved.
And it's actually expanded to the point where you can do golf on it.
Sure.
You could do, I don't think you do
anything.
College yet.
No, they used to have college. They got rid of that a few years ago.
Yeah. But there are various things you can do.
World Cup, all of it.
A legend in sports talk returned to WFAN, Mike Francesa, after a brief retirement.
Yes. About 3 months.
Very brief.
And yesterday, social media was abuzz because the way they portrayed it is that he thinks he's created this thing, which is actually daily fantasy sports. Listen to
I got
to
hear this
Mike
clip.
Francesa.
I've only read about it. I haven't heard the clip yet.
And this is where, if the states are smart, they will take people who really understand this, okay, and let them create games that would attract people. And there are games. If I created a game for you that plays into your football or basketball or baseball expertise, and you could, for a $20 or $50 in total, have a chance to win big money based on how you play it, that will be an exciting play for you, okay? That will be a very exciting play for the average guy. And I think you can create something where the payoffs are not a dollar and a dream like the lottery, where the odds are you got a better chance of getting hit by lightning, but that if you have a skill, there will be a game I could create 10 games in 15 minutes if they gave me 15 minutes to do it. And those games, if created properly, will be very enticing to the public. And what's good about them is the bookmakers don't have the same games. They don't have the mechanism. They don't like coupled bets. They don't like the chance of you winning a lot with a little. They frown on that. They don't want that. They want you to bet dollar for dollar. They really want you to pay 11 for 10 is what they want you to do. So they want that bet. They don't want this other bet. And this other bet is where the states, if they're imaginative, will make their money. I can create a game in 15 minutes for you. But let's say I create a game where you get to pick five players tonight in the major leagues. Right? And if your five players, based on numeric totals, have better offensive numbers for the night than any other five players, you win $50,000. And the fee is $10 to get in. People will buy that. They'll play it like crazy. They will play it
Cakes
all
and
night.
Tom Daly will.
And you can create different ones. You can create ones that pay $10,000, that pay $5,000. Like, if you give the average guy a chance to win $5,000 for his $10, it's going to do it.
I've got an idea, Cakes.
Go, you know what?
That's
go
only
back,
been around for a decade.
Go back into retirement. I've got an
it's idea. Only been around for a decade.
I've got an idea.
What an
How
idiot.
About in the NFL?
Yeah.
You pick one quarterback
right.
on a given Sunday
yes.
and two running backs.
I kind of like it.
Two wide receivers, a tight end. We won't go into individual defense players. You just pick a defense.
All right.
And a kicker.
Good concept.
And a kicker. And whoever gets the most points based on whatever scoring system
you know
come
what?
Up with.
I think, the public would go for
and
that.
And we can come up with different games. You can do head-to-head where you play one other individual
right.
and somebody wins.
He just sounds like
you
a complete
have a pool of 100.
Idiot. He just sounds like an old man who has no idea. And did he say that casinos don't offer large odd bets?
Well, I think what he's thinking about is like...
what is he talking about?
He's
I
basically
think
he's talking
like
about
like
your average bookie.
I think he's talking, about,
he's talking about your average bookie that just wants to take a bet, you know, $50 to win $50.
Is it possible that he lives in such a bubble that he didn't know that daily fantasy sports has existed for...
It's impossible for someone who works in sports media to not understand that fantasy sports exists.
Now, was he responding to a call, someone asking a question?
I think it was a call. I didn't hear the prior call.
He was talking about the legalized
Did one of his
gambling.
Producers call him out on it? Did anybody call him out on this? Did
I don't
he respond
know.
To it?
I'd say, Mike, that's called Daily Fantasy.
Right.
Been around for a decade.
Have you ever heard
decade.
Of FanDuel and DraftKings?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they do sponsors with us.
Right. All right, let's go to
That's a guy that you want in your league, by the way.
Absolutely,
oh, yeah. Get my first
big whale. Get him in.
Yeah, you want him in your league so yeah. bad.
I love how he said it's based on numerics.
Right.
Yeah.
Numerics.
No, metrics, wasn't it? Or
I thought he said numerics.
He said numerics.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to Kevin in Culpepper. You know what? God bless him. That guy's the godfather of a sports radio.
Yeah.
So,
but he's a little out of touch.
Yeah. He's lost his fastball.
Just
that's fine.
Just a tad.
What's up, Kevin?
He's awful. Hey, guys. Hey, a little bit ago, I heard you talking about how Harper and the idea that he's checked out. Did any of you guys watch the game last night?
I was running around.
I watched like three, four innings.
Well, in the beginning, it was one of the early innings. One of the Yankees stole second. Our catcher throws the ball, and it gets by the second baseman. I'm not 100% on my baseball acumen, but isn't the center fielder supposed to kind of run up and back that up? And he's just out there, you know, almost at the warning track watching it happen. And then once the ball gets into the outfield, oh, then he takes off and runs and go gets the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, aren't you supposed to anticipate that happening and you – as soon as you see the catcher throw, you take off running just in case he gets by, or is that not?
Yes, you are, but you see, look, technically a catcher is supposed to back up every throw to the first baseman.
Run all the way down the first baseline. Right. You'll see that
yeah,
like you
I mean,
used
you,
to.
Look, you take it for granted at some point because it's a routine play.
No, it's a no, that's not true. These players are taught to back up throws, absolutely. Now, did the runner advance?
Yes.
Yeah. So he got to third. Okay.
He ended up scoring a run.
Say this too. Bryce is now. I mean, he's not a center fielder. He hadn't played center field all year until
I
recently.
I understand, but he's supposed to be a great player. I mean, he's supposed to be this. You know, 5 years ago he was like, you know, they compete. You know, Charlie Hustle, whatever. He's you know, end of the game.
Where he is, in my opinion. He's that way. He's at times. He's like that. That extra effort that you saw early when he first came up. You see that sporadically.
Also think
when
they
he's
told
not
him to
hitting
dial
well,
back.
You will see him loaf a little more.
Didn't they also tell him to dial it back when he was running into walls?
Well, in terms of
and
running into
injured.
Walls. Yeah, but that doesn't mean he can't back up throws.
I get it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Look, Dave Martinez after the game said they did need to clean up some things defensively because they haven't been great defensively. I think Trey Turner got picked off as well. So they've been kind of had they've had some self-inflicted errors of late.
Listen, here's the bottom line with Bryce. He's a great player. He has the potential to be a really, really great player. But there are still definitely flaws to his game. I think there are times where you can say, you know, he coasts a little bit. Mm-hmm. He throws the wrong base, gets picked off, base running errors. You know, those kinds of holes do exist in his
game.
True,
but
he's not the perfect player.
But he may hit 50 home runs.
Absolutely.
He may hit 250 this year, but he may hit 50 home runs. This is part of the deal. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Now, in terms of the future.
But hold on. But you can't give a guy a pass and say sometimes they don't expect the throw to be offline. You can't
I
say
I understand you're coaching your daughter's softball team right now. But if you watch
No, no, JP. This is baseball 101. Backing up throws is baseball 101.
Okay. Do you think a catcher on every ground ball to the shortstop runs down the line to be in backup position?
Probably the majority of them do.
Okay, I'm going to try and watch that.
But that's
really
a totally different play. That's a totally different play than backing up a throw to try and nab a base stealer in center field. That's a totally different play. Having the catcher go down to first base is totally different than a center fielder backing up a throw to second. And the shortstop should be back there, too.
I don't think that if you were to watch every Major League Baseball game that you're going to see center fielder sprinting when a catcher's throwing to second base every time.
You don't have to be sprinting, but just be in position. I think the guy makes a good point.
Well, it sounds like he was in somewhat position. He was just deep in the outfield. Hmm. Look,
well, if the base runner advanced, he wasn't in position.
First of all, he was in center, right? He's not a great center fielder. Shouldn't even be there.
That's true. And that gave him a pass there. But
he's
you're
not a
right.
Great right fielder.
But you're right. There are times where
he loafs a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. That's what I meant when I said he's checked out, or some fans have noticed that. It's just some certain plays.
But that's been that way his entire career.
And I think this year in particular at the plate, he's showed some of that.
I just see him sometimes when you're swinging so hard and your helmet's falling off, something's not right. That's not really happening with other guys. You know, with the frequency that it happens with Bryce, mm-hmm. like literally swinging out of his shoes.
Well, he also may have a looser helmet. We talked about it when his helmet fell off and he was going towards second base. Got to keep that hair nice.
Well, he tips it over a lot just to be done with it. I get that. But he swings his helmet off all the time. And it's kind of embarrassing. It's like, keep your helmet on a little tight. Get a tighter
I wouldn't want mine on at all times.
It's kind of embarrassing.
I need to protect the brain
It's like when Tiger wails away on the tee all off balance like some 15 handicapper. It just looks embarrassing.
You mean like, but I'm going to do a Purple Heart Open
in
a few weeks?
I can't believe his helmet falls off as much as it does.
You really wish you were 15.
Yeah. He must have the world's largest helmet. He's so, I don't notice so that concerned with, any, with that hair.
I don't notice that with any other player.
I know. I agree.
With the ball the helmet just falling off his head.
Well, he pushes it off when he runs. You see him do it.
A lot of times he does, yes.
But at the plate, he's just swinging wildly.
Well, just remember, the hair is very important to him. His brother caught him with two hair dryers. Right. Never seen that before.
Oh, that was a
Listen,
bit.
Listen, all that being said, if you could get him at a nice deal.
You think it was a bit or he got caught doing it?
No, it was a bit for like a hair product.
JP's a dog.
Oh. That he's hawking.
Okay. I didn't even know
really a bit.
Listen, if they could get him at a fair price, I'm all about it. Who wouldn't want to have Bryce Harper here for 20-some years? But if he's going to break the bank, get $300 million, that's not going to happen here.
We need to come up with a nice saying for Soto.
Sized for Soto.
It's always.
Everything is
it's always.
What's wrong with that? That's an alliteration.
It's not bad.
Sized for Soto.
I think it's kind of hard to rhyme Soto.
We're not going to do anything with it.
Sized
for
Soto.
This is where it ends.
Size one.
How many T-shirt ideas have we had, and how many T-shirts have we actually printed?
It's been years.
We've had 100, and we've given
we
got to
get back into the T-shirt
business. The T-shirt hustle.
Everyone's selling T-shirts.
Yeah. Those horny for Zorny checks were pretty nice.
Right?
All right, coming up next, Chelsea James from the Washington Post to give us the latest on your Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You know, been talking Caps all week. And it's been an interesting week for the Washington Nationals. We haven't paid that much attention to it, but you have the anonymous GM ripping Bryce Harper and Mike Rizzo shooting back. You've got Daniel Murphy and Adam Eaton returning to the lineup. And, of course, the 19-year-old phenom Juan Soto with two home runs last night. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to talk some Nationals is Chelsea James from the Washington Post. Mm. Morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Well, it actually has been an interesting week for the Nationals, right?
It really has. I mean, I'm actually not in New York. I'm meeting them in Toronto, and just watching from afar, you kind of get a sense of all the chaos. I think when you're there, you kind of forget that all that stuff is such a big deal and happening so fast. But it's been pretty crazy. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, from Riz kind of going off to Murphy returning, and we didn't even really get much time to process Adam Eaton returning. So it's been a pretty crazy couple weeks, and I think probably a little bit of a transition time for them. We'll have to see how they kind of come out of it all.
You know, let's talk about Bryce for a second because, you know, the power numbers are there. He's producing in that sense. But, you know, when you're hitting 228, the critics do jump in, especially when you're up for a contract. And we had a guy call in last night. I didn't see the play. I was out running around. But apparently he was complaining that he didn't back up second on a play. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And then we talked about, look, we all know there are some aspects to Bryce's game. You know, base running errors. It throws the wrong base. Sometimes you could see, you know, he's not hustling the way he maybe did when he was 19 and he first came up. I think that happens when he gets frustrated. Overall, though, are the Nats happy with that sort of thing? They know that's who Bryce is, or do they want to see a little more? Some people are accusing him of sort of like, I don't know, you want to say what, quitting on him or just kind of going through the motions
checking
a little
out,
bit.
Checking
yeah,
out.
Yeah. You think that's fair or what?
You know, it's really tough to say with him. I don't think the Nats are at a point anymore where they're happy or unhappy with Bryce. I think they're at a point where they know who he is and they want to make him happy and comfortable and, you know, kind of see what happens in the off season. So for me, I don't think there's sort of any inner turmoil caused by whatever Bryce does anymore. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. And he's a very competitive guy with a lot of intensity. He's playing for a lot of money. And he just doesn't look happy to be there. And I think, I don't know what to read into that. Is that, you know, that he's going through the motions? Is that, you know, the pressure's on? I don't know. He's a really hard guy to read, but the defense is noticeable. I mean, I've had people sort of outside, you know, the day-to-day Washington Nationals crew say, whoa, what's up there? And, you know, there's something off, but he might be in full-out self-preservation mode. And I'm not, you know, I don't know, not sure what I make of that either, but it has been sort of a weird year, and the average thing, I don't know what to make of either because, yeah, all the stat heads say, whatever, it's average. We don't really care about it anymore. It doesn't project. It doesn't tell us anything. But it tells you something. I mean, it tells you that, you know, he's not the same guy he has been in past years. And so, I don't know. It's been a really interesting, hard-to-read year, and if you're trying to decide whether to pay this guy $300 million, that's probably not a very comfortable kind of year to base that off of.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a body language thing. And look, he's a person just like we all are. And I, you know, he's thinking about the money, and that's got to be affecting him, right? And you know, you got this executive coming out and criticizing him. I wonder if there are others out there that feel the same way. But he's got the same emotions that we all have. And I just think it's human nature to kind of act like this. But the fans do get frustrated when they see stuff like that, and they've been frustrated for a few years. But when you're a guy who maybe asking for $400 million or hitting 224, the fans are like, well, you know, maybe you should just go somewhere else and hit 224.
Especially when Juan Soto's lighting it up.
Yeah, and then you got the stud Juan Soto coming up, putting up numbers. So it's probably a very difficult season right now for Bryce.
Yeah, it can't be a whole lot of fun. And I think the thing that's really confusing to me is, you know, we're seeing him at Yankee Stadium, you know, some of these high profile places that you think Bryce would sort of get up for. You know, we've sort of learned that he is a big stage guy, and it's not happening this year. Like, there's not even a bump in energy. So I don't know what to make of it, but it's noticeable. And, you know, I'm sure that the people making those big $300-400 million decisions are noticing it too. You know, who knows, but it's definitely there, and I'll be interested to see sort of how he holds up through the second half and maybe if something changes. But it is important to remember that they are people, because I think of all the people on the Nats, he sort of gets thrown into robot celebrity territory more often than most, and he's just a 25-year-old guy dealing with crazy pressure and outside stuff and people pulling at him. And you know, maybe we're seeing him start to sort of succumb to that after all these years.
All right, so let's move from the 25-year-old guy, who's ancient compared to the 19-year-old guy, Juan Soto, who's just been unbelievable. His on-base percentage is close to .450. He hit two home runs in Yankee Stadium, and I think he joined a list that included Ken Griffey Jr. and Robin Yount, two Hall of Famers last night.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. We heard people in the Nationals organization say, this is the best hitter we've ever seen come out of the Dominican. This is blah, blah, blah. And you kind of say, oh, okay, guys, all right. Yeah, sure. And then you start to see it in Taterstown. And then I saw him in Potomac a few weeks ago, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is something else. Like, this is not something we've seen. And he's been the real deal. And I don't think you can expect it to continue. I think there's got to be, you know, some kind of adjustment made that's going to take time. But with him, you don't even rule it out because the swing is so simple and he's able to shorten up so well. And he just seems sort of immune to the pressure, if not really, you know, to love it. So he is as advertised. And I think when people heard that, when people hear, I don't think the Nats are going to make such a run at Bryce, which is what some people think, you're kind of like, wait, what? But they see internally that they have this kid and they have Victor Robles and they have Adam Eaton. And, you know, I don't think that there's, you know, they're not going to be negotiating from a position of desperation at all on Harper. And, you know, Soto is pretty much the big reason why.
What about Strassi? What are we expecting for this injury? Is it just something minor, precautionary, you know, only going to miss a couple starts? Or do you think this is more serious?
I think it's serious in the sense that, you know, it's going to be more than a few starts. But I don't think it's serious in sort of Steven Strasburg's estimation of serious, which is important. You know, it's not surgery.
Right.
It's hopefully not something that becomes this major labrum shoulder thing that, you know, makes him disappear like Coda Glover disappeared a little bit. But I think it's serious in that I don't know how many, you know, weeks of non-Steven Strasburg they can afford right now. But I think the plan all along, they sort of penciled him in for a DL stint a year. You know, I don't mean that with any disrespect towards him. I think he's a guy who sort of needs to be managed. And, you know, if this is a blessing in disguise in some way, I think it's safe to assume that it will be, just because it shuts him down, lets him sort of reset on the mechanics before he messes up the elbow and hopefully get some of the swelling out. But, you know, structurally fine is the key phrase that we've heard over and over on the shoulder. And so I think it's serious because they need him, but not serious in the sense that it's going to snowball.
Who is Trey Turner? I thought he was somebody different in 2016, and last year was a fine year. Nothing wrong with it.
Missed 40 or 60, maybe 60 games.
I really thought, you know, he hit 340. He was doing everything with power, and you know, here we are, 258, whatever. It was just kind of a whatever. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, it appears, but who is he really?
It's tough. You know, I think that's why it's hard to be all in on Soto, even though most of us are.
Right.
It's because adjustments happen. And I think the league really learned that, you know, Trey can turn around an inside fastball better than anybody, but you don't have to throw him inside fastballs. And he's had a lot of trouble sort of handling the pitch. It's something that's always been a work in progress. And when he's doing it well, he's an outstanding hitter. But, you know, I think he's going to be closer to all-star caliber than not. I mean, I think he's pretty much, you know, one of the top two shortstops that's healthy in the National League right now. So, you know, he's really good, and he's an impact player because of that speed. But he's probably, you know, 2016 was probably a little bit of an unfair bar to start with. But, I think he's much closer to annual all-star than he is to, you know, blah, which at times you feel like he is, yeah.
Good. All right. We're talking to Chelsea James, of course, from the Washington Post, covers the Nats. Nobody knows the Nats better than Chelsea. What about Rendon? I kind of have the same questions about him, a little less so because, I mean, we know what a talent he is and his hand speed and all of that. Everyone just raves about it, and he's put up some great years. But he seems to be kind of going through the motions this year. I don't know, just numbers-wise.
It's interesting because, you know, when we see them get shut out or something, it's always like, wow, they have no energy, right? And so when you're not hitting, it sort of looks like you're going through the motions, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy who, you've seen him grow up. And, you know, even I think maybe just last week he mentioned that, you know, he's trying to kind of combat the grind of the season by making sure everything he does is really intentional, whether it's before batting practice, whether it's in batting practice. And so I don't think he's going through the motions, but it is amazing how results with a team this experienced and sort of this calm and this used to winning, if the offense isn't there, they do look kind of boring and like they're maybe not trying because they're very even keeled, and he is the ultimate even keeled guy. But
right.
Yeah, I think he's been really good defensively. And I just don't think the offense has been quite what you'd expect from him. So I'll be interested to see if that changes, but I think he's a guy who's sort of aware that this is the time of year where you can maybe start sliding into that. And he's actually consciously trying to say, I'm not going to do that. And hopefully, obviously that yields, you know, better results fairly soon.
Gotcha. All right, Chelsea, it's only two games, but what do your eyes tell you when you see Murphy in the box?
I think it's Daniel Murphy. I really do. You know, I think it's when he's out of the box that is the problem right now. But, you know, I think that the sense we got from everyone who saw him was he looked bad on rehab, but it was more mental than physical. The brain was getting in the way of him trusting the knee. And I think Dave Martinez made an interesting point that, you know, once he gets to the majors, there's no time to think. Like, that's adrenaline. And I think he's looked fairly normal with his swing. I think he's looked weird running, but it's not like he was a perfect runner before. So, you know, I think that'll calm down a little bit. I don't know that he's going to be Daniel Murphy of, you know, 2016, 2017, but I think he can be really useful and closer to that than maybe you saw when you saw those rehab videos. So I think he's okay in the box. I think it'll just be interesting to see if he keeps improving out of the box and see how much that even matters in the end with him.
You know, I'm just looking real quick. I'm sorry, Jason. I'm just looking real quick at Bryce's batting average with balls in play. Mm. God, it's remarably low. It's a 213.
Yeah. He's a different guy.
I mean, is that just because, you know, the launch angle and all that's all screwed up, or is he really getting unlucky here?
I think it's a little bit of both, and we've seen some people pull together the numbers on the shifts, and he's not doing as well against those this year. So I think that's real. Like, that's a real thing he's having trouble with. How do you fix that? I don't know, because you want Bryce to be pulling the ball, you know, for power. You don't want him bunting up the third baseline, so it's tough. But I think that, yeah, that number is really real. A lot of it shifts, and there is some luck involved. So I don't expect the batting average to be 220, but it probably isn't going to be, you know, 280, 300 either.
Right.
I know we sound very negative this morning, Chelsea. I mean, they did win the game last night.
Well, they're still only a game back.
And one of the reasons they won the game is because Justin Miller was lights out again. He had four strikeouts in inning two-thirds. He's 4-0. He got his fourth win last night. He's got 21 strikeouts in less than 11 innings. And he's been huge for them. I'm not sure where they picked him up, where Rizzo found him. I know he used to play for Colorado, but I don't know who he was with last year. Can you tell me more about Justin Miller?
Yeah, he was good with the Rockies. And, you know, if you're good with the Rockies, you can pitch anywhere. And then he kind of fell off. And actually, he and Brandon Kinsler share an agent. And I believe, you know, depending who you talk to, the story is kind of that Kinsler said, hey, man, you're getting fat. Like, figure it out. So he kind of pulled him along to training this offseason and, you know, helped him, you know, decide that he needed to be back in shape and, you know, got a minor league deal with the Nats, you know, so minor that he wasn't even invited to big league spring training. You know, it was like, hey, let's take a chance on this guy. And, you know, he got back in shape and he was, you know, throwing 96. And so he, you know, he's just kind of one of those like lightning in a bottle relievers that they are seemingly able to find every year. But I think the Kinsler thing really is sort of the inspiration there and the connection that helped them find him.
Mm. Chelsea, Adam Eaton, a nice shot in the arm for the offense since his return, 5-for-12. He scored 3 runs. What's the plan for him going forward as far as keeping him fresh and healthy since he missed so much time?
I think for a while that they'll sit him against select lefties and let Michael A. play center, but that's a guy you need at the top of your lineup. You know, I think as soon as he proves that he's and not just say he's able to go every day, which he was earlier this season, he'll be in there every day because he's just – he's such a pest and such a, like you said, a shot in the arm. But I think for now he'll probably sit against a lefty or two a week and give Michael A shot out in center.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Chelsea. Thank you.
Have fun in Toronto.
Thanks.
Hey, Toronto's fun. Toronto's a great town.
JP, I just wanted to respond to what you were saying about comparing the plays with the catchers backing up first. I won't say that every catcher backs up first. I'm obviously not that dumb. I'm not saying the right fielders will back up first, but I would say the good ones probably do.
Right.
And you know, the hustlers do. So we would assume that if Harper is a great player and a hustler, that he would back up something like that. But I didn't see the play.
I don't disagree with you that backing up the play is the right play. What I'm saying is it doesn't happen all the time in major leagues.
True. But, you know, if Bryce Harper is worth $300 to $400 million, you would hope he would just make a standard routine play like that.
Smarter guys know. and then they have access to better numbers. But, you know, maybe it's like launch angle's all messed up and he's popping up all the time. But to hit 213, your batting average ball's in play, when last year at 356, 2 years ago 369, 352, 306, 310, somewhere something's going wrong there. There's some bad luck factoring into that, I'm assuming.
Well, I think the shifting is a big deal.
But, like,
he hits a lot of ground balls right to the second baseman.
Well, you know what he hasn't done?
Who's playing in short right field.
He's grounded into 0 double plays.
Yeah,
out of 32 opportunities. Last year, grounded into 15. So,
Well, some of that might be that he was batting leadoff for a little bit, and he's had less people on base.
He's had 32 opportunities.
Yeah.
He's got zero.
Oh, good
Trey Turner's got fewer opportunities, and Trey Turner's lightning. He's grounded into two.
Yeah. Some of that will even out.
Well, look.
I think so.
Chelsea James notices it. We've talked to fans who've noticed it's a body language thing. Maybe it's a confidence thing.
Body language isn't great.
It's a self-pressure thing.
But that's because he's hitting 220.
That's
Whose
what I mean?
Body language is good when you're hitting 220?
Yeah, I mean, he's showing the frustration.
It's a self-fulfilling kind of thing.
I'd have been psyched when I was a senior in high school.
You would love that
about
number.
Zero.
Michael Jordan would have loved to hit 220.
Hey, hit 199.
Tim Tebow
might be 199 or 200?
I was like 201.
201, dude. I'm telling you, that's one of the greatest feats.
It's incredible.
That's with some kind scorekeepers along the way.
Maybe.
All right, phone number 800-636-1067. The Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open for Open Line Thursday. When we come back, do we dare to dream? Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington.
Is there a movement afoot to draft World Cup teams? Is that happening?
I wanted to do it.
To do a pool?
Nobody else is interested.
Yeah,
I think it's going to happen.
I think I would do it,
but you might not like this, but I said I'd rather do it on air than in my real life.
Oh, really?
Because in my real life, I just want to live my life.
Oh, okay.
I don't care about drafts. Right. I don't want my life to be littered with drafts.
I said I'd participate if it's done by the end of the show and there's no money involved. That tells you how much I care.
I said I would participate if it's cheap.
I won't do it if there's no money.
There has to be at least $5. I mean, we have to reach out.
I'm in for five to ten.
Pay my entry fee because he was begging me to be. Part
I'm in
of
for
it.
5 to 10. Like,
yeah,
that's in my
can be
range.
Low, but there needs to be some sort of sweat.
I'm not
last
free.
Time I had a sick draft, that's y'all for, redrafted.
All right, $10.
That's for preschoolers.
$10.
I mean, come on.
So I mentioned before the break, and it is Open Line Thursday. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Do we dare to dream? And I think this is ridiculous, but Michael Wilbon is now saying that he believes LeBron James should come to D.C.
Well, he believes
I believe
that.
This is a make good.
Did he say Durant?
I think this
too?
Is a make good on his minor league sports town. Comment that he has received a lot of hatred.
It's a good theory.
From the fans because he said that DC is a minor league sports town.
So this is Olive Branch
and then the Caps,
deal.
The Caps, of course, went on this amazing run, and everybody was saying, "Here you go, Michael Wilbon, minor league sports town. Look how many people came to the parade,"
right.
That sort of thing. So anyway, he goes on to say, "Washington DC is where he can all at once pursue his championships, earn his hundreds of millions, and make a glorious noise of protest, agitation, or advocacy. Jeff Bezos, one of the richest people in the world, could have set up a camp anywhere, but chose the nation's capital, specifically the Washington Post, and he's renovating the largest home in D.C., where his neighbors include the Obamas.
Bezos.
Amazon's HQ2 may not be far behind. Bezos isn't bringing fascinating people to interact and engage. With all due respect to Cleveland, he's bringing them to Washington." And then he goes on to say, "If LeBron wants to take on Donald Trump and appeal to his own constituency, his own base, then why not get right in his space and do it here?"
He can do that anywhere.
Do we dare to dream?
No, I don't.
Not a waste of time.
Well, let me just tell you something.
Waste of time.
I don't believe it can happen, but I believe the Wizards should make a pitch.
Of course.
Well, of course they should make a pitch. He's a free agent.
What else is Ernie going to do?
Every team will.
Because that 15th pick is going to put them over the top.
No, you know what?
Just use your head.
I'm going to reverse course. If I'm Ernie, I'm not going to waste my time because I know that I have no shot at LeBron James, that it's a pipe dream. I'm going to actually focus on players
Here's
that I can
your
bring
shot
in
LeBron
and improve the roster.
Well, how much money could they offer him when they have three max players?
I don't know how that would work.
No, they would. You would have to probably trade John Wall. Look, I would do it if it was possible. If Cleveland said yes, so he opts out of his deal, he's a free whatever, and you do a sign and trade.
In theory,
you sign away your cap space
guys. You would trade your entire roster for LeBron.
Of course you would.
The Wizards would. Almost anybody would. You would trade your because he'll just carry you to the finals.
Right, but LeBron's not going to. He needs superstars.
Yeah,
right.
He needs people around him.
So
you couldn't trade John Wall and all those guys.
No, you just need to keep one or two of them. In a perfect world, you get rid of Otto because he's just average, and then you.
And get rid of Wall?
If you could keep Beal, I think Wall LeBron would be intriguing.
Here's what
Wilbon
said.
That.
Wilbon said since the Wizards don't have the salary cap room to simply recruit and sign LeBron, he'd have to opt in on the final year of his current deal and do so with the stipulation the Cavaliers trade him to the Wizards. So that's the way you'd have to make it go. But I do believe overall,
in other words,
this
impossible.
Is a make good that Will Bond
I think you're right.
Is kind of catering to the DC audience to get them psyched
because
he just got
back.
Them all bitter.
He wants to get a little DC love back. It's not going to happen.
It's so preposterous.
They were never going to get KD, and they're not going to get LeBron. It's just, listen, if it wasn't so prohibitive cap wise and everything else, I don't think it's I've always said I think DC's a great town, a great destination, and if you're an elite player, you know, you can make your team anywhere great.
Mm-hmm. Do we know, is LeBron a hockey fan? Does he get sized for Stanley Cup champions?
You know what? He's gonna go to LA Kings games.
But this goes to my DeMatha push for Bronny.
Let me get Mike Jones call him?
Bronny. Well, apparently, and I was listening to, I think it was Rick Bucher yesterday. He made some great points about why LA is such a perfect fit. First of all, his wife apparently is really into fashion, or she wants to open up her own fashion line. I don't know, something with fashion, right? Mm-hmm. He's got his own production company. He does have a house in L.A.
In Brentwood, correct?
Yeah. His buddies, I think Maverick Carter and all those donks, they all live in L.A.
Right.
The weather's
bizarre.
The weather's great.
What school is his kid going to go to? He cares about his kids. Like, he actually said that was maybe
isn't
the biggest
Isn't he committed
factor.
To Sierra Canyon, which is in L.A.?
Sierra Canyon, it's a big-time program. Didn't Bagley go there for a year or something?
Not
I
sure.
I think Scottie Pippen's kid is going there, yeah. And I mean, some other kid.
L.A.
Some other studs kid.
L.A. just fits for all those reasons on many levels.
Now the only thing Bond's playing into is this like protest card where all of a sudden LeBron is now, you know, just because he trashes Trump, that doesn't put him in
just
any special
he's not
company.
Going to the White House.
Every athlete in the round is seemingly trashing Trump.
And he can
Trump.
Do that from anywhere in the country. It doesn't have to be here.
I don't believe that LeBron all of a sudden wants to be sort of the Colin Kaepernick of the NBA. I don't really believe that.
No, he's got other outside interests.
Yeah.
I can't believe Kaepernick hasn't found his way back to the
Capitol said, the Caps said they go to the White House. Didn't they?
I think
aside from DSP. DSP said not that size.
Okay, all right.
But the Russians get sized.
The big drawback to going to LA if you're LeBron, they're way overdue for the big one. For it all just to fall into the ocean.
Well, I also heard this is
something that's way at the back of your mind, but you have to consider it. I'm sorry, you just do.
That would be part of the process when you sit there with your family.
That's on your con part of your list.
It's number one on the con.
Well, not just that, but his house may go up in flames at any point.
That's true.
If he buys one out there.
Fires.
I think of everything.
Brush fire and San Andreas fault.
I leave nothing to chance.
And drought.
Including big catastrophe.
Did you see the clip yesterday? There's wildfires out there right now.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills.
Right.
And some guy's in his backyard with just a garden hose.
Yeah, just trying to keep it a bang.
Trying to fend them off.
It was incredible. The flame looked like, it just looked like a helicopter crash behind him.
Leave. Yeah, you just leave.
And it was just unbelievable. He's got his little garden hose.
Well, in theory, I think it would help if you just wet your grass as much as you can. Now soak it.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Now, because of the drought? If your damn house is on the line, you're going to do it.
I would.
Did he have the garden hose with the gun sprayer?
or the mister?
Was he holding the thumb over top?
Pretty sure he had the gun.
That's PG County, because that's how we grew up.
If you had
a sprinkler thing at the end, or whatever that thing's called, gun at the end, you were a big seller.
Yeah, you were a big seller.
Because we used our thumb.
You might be able to fend it off.
We just bent it. You know, you could bend it. All right, let's go to Eric in Woodbridge. I'm going to try to get to this Magic 15. Eric, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Chunks. How are you guys?
What's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Doing great.
All right, I just wanted to call and personally thank you guys for your coverage of the parade.
Thanks, buddy.
Unfortunately, I had to work. Yeah, thank you. But because of you guys and 106.7 The Fan, I really felt like I was there.
That's awesome.
And,
yeah, everybody
did
a great
job.
To
the people that couldn't come. Yeah, everybody from you guys to Grant and Danny to the Dukesy.
Yep.
It was awesome. And Lurch. Yeah. I've never heard you so excited before.
He was really excited.
He was happy.
Was
CK
good,
tweeted, it's the first time he's ever seen Jason happy.
That was a good time. That was a
it
good
was
time.
It was great. I thank you guys.
Yeah. I see him happy.
Thank
welcome,
you,
man.
Eric. Thank you, buddy.
Every other Friday at 10.
I'm happy. Right, well, I'm happy every day at
when
10.
When he's stalking Colette.
Every single day
for the
10.
Check.
All right. Well, it looks like we have a couple kids here. They want to chime in on the whole the Caps deal. Hey, what's up, guy? Who is this?
Hi.
Who's this?
Ethan and Finn.
What's up, Ethan and Finn?
Ethan and Finn, what's up,
Sounds
guys?
Sounds like a wackadoo, like, midday show.
What's up? Why are you guys calling?
We've come to talk about the future of the Caps.
Oh, really?
What do you think they need to do?
It's so bright.
Why?
Because we're going back-to-back.
You're going back-to-back. Which of the key guys do you think they have to re-sign of the guys?
Definitely John Carlson.
Definitely Carlson.
Yeah.
What about Beegs?
I think we should keep him.
Right. All right. What about Tom Wilson? He's a restricted free agent. What about Tom Wilson?
Oh, well, you have to get Wilson.
I agree.
They want to bring them all back.
That's what I'm getting to.
Devontae Smith-Pelly.
There's no playoffs here.
What about DSP? Smith-Pelly. Pelly Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
We need him.
You're keeping them all, though, guys. He's a really... I need you to make a tough decision.
Yeah, you got to let somebody go.
Pick one of those guys that you're going to whack.
Beagle.
That's our guy.
I thought I liked you.
Grubauer. You can say bye to Grubauer.
Yeah, Grubauer's done.
He's an RFA. Bye-bye.
Yeah, they're trying to trade him.
I saw somebody said they thought they could get a first-round pick for him. Really? Be ridiculous.
Well, some teams see him as
a first-round picks might be kind of meaningless. You grab one of those for a backup goalie.
But a lot of teams see him as a starting goalie.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, thank you, Ethan and Finn.
Thank you, guys.
We'll send along your thoughts to Brian McClellan.
What was that all about?
I don't know.
All right, open line Thursday here on the Junkies. You can chime in at 800-636-1067.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.